This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in New Jersey. T&Cs apply.
Welcome, all you Bulls fans, to another episode of the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls coverage show. Squeaky chair. I've got a squeaky chair. I'm sorry. But I am Keith Cork. I'm your host. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. I'm here to break down this unfortunate loss here by the Chicago Bulls, your Chicago Bulls, against the Philadelphia 76ers. Not too upset about this game. I thought once Coby White and Zach LaVine were both ruled out, it was pretty obvious that the Bulls were going to lose this one. Just not enough firepower, man. Not enough firepower against a very, very skilled and good basketball team. So I'm going to break it down for you. We don't have Trey today, but I'm here for you guys. And we're going to break down this thing here on the Sports Ethos Bulls coverage show. But before I do start that, I want to get my ad reads up here. And I want to tell you, listeners, so please take a moment to go follow at EthosFantasyBK on Twitter, the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis, too. Again, that's at EthosFantasyBK on Twitter. Go follow it now. But yeah, we're going to break down the game, but I also want to touch on some pretty big news here. Obviously, we had a big trade in the association today that makes one of our opponents, one of our competitors here, a lot better, I think. Maybe not a lot better, but better for sure. So we're going to touch on that and Billy Donovan's comments on Patrick Williams and a lot more. So stick with me here through the end. But first of all, yeah, Bulls lose 108-119 against the Philadelphia 76ers. Unfortunate because, you know, I think they gave everything. I think they gave their best shot. It was an unfortunate loss, but man, those Bulls, man, they really showed out and played well. Particularly, I'm going to point to DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Vucevic, Javante Green. Man, Javante Green has been out on a tear recently, and Ayodele Osunmu, all with big games. I felt like Ayo didn't have a big game in the box score, but man, his presence was felt just trying to dunk on people and all that good stuff. So, but yeah, DeMar DeRozan career high tonight. Or not career high, sorry, season high tonight, today. Wow. Season high today with 45 points on 18 of 30 shooting. Just incredible. Everything he put up just went down, man. 9 of 11 from the free throw line. 9 rebounds, 7 assists. So flirted a little bit with a triple-double. Probably could have gotten there with a few more made baskets from his teammates. But yeah, let me shout out here, and I think I've shouted him out before. But Javante Green. 5 of 6 from the field, 17 points, which is great. You don't expect that from 6 of 6 from the line, 1 of 1 from 3-pointers. You don't expect that from him, but he's been doing stuff like that for the last, I don't know, 2 weeks, basically. This guy's just been in fuego, man. And not only that, but just giving us the athleticism that our team is just really lacking right now, down so many bodies, especially with Zach LaVine and Coby White out. Just obviously the most athletic guy on the floor for the Chicago Bulls, just doing everything as far as like offensive rebounds go, blocking shots that just shouldn't be blocked. You wouldn't think he has any chance of blocking him, and he comes out of nowhere and sends it back. This guy's becoming a fan favorite, I think, and rightfully so, man. I mean, he's hustled his butt off to get to this point in the league and really showing that he belongs. Maybe not necessarily a starter. I will go ahead and admit he's probably not the ideal starter for the Chicago Bulls at the forward position. We want to have Patrick Williams there. You want to have somebody better than that. But as a backup, man, I think he's definitely come into his own. I can't wait to see him in a 20 to 25 minute role, you know, when we're fully healthy, which I think is definitely more in his wheelhouse. And he's going to put up big lines. And, you know, hopefully if you see any of those lines in Thrive Fantasy, you grab them. Because, guys, I want to let you know we have a brand new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos. Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to $100. Plus either two or four free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest names playing every night. Score points when your player props hit. And the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at thrivefantasy.com. You can actually use my link also on my Twitter page. That's at BSBPKeith to sign up for Thrive Fantasy. I would appreciate it very much if you did that. But yeah, Javonte Green, big game, just doing a lot of stuff there athletically. Vucevic, another good game, 8 of 18 from the floor, so didn't shoot it particularly well, but that's about average for him. 2 of 7 from beyond the arc. I want to. I did have a thought here during this game that I noted down, and I want to actually discuss this. I was hoping to have Trae on to discuss it with him, but he was too busy, so no big deal. I'm going to discuss it with you guys, and I guess with myself here. I would love for the Chicago Bulls to make it a rule on the offensive end to not do a pick and pop into a Vucevic three until there's like 10 seconds on the shot clock or less. I just feel like he took, I want to say two or three at least, three-pointers, where it was the first action was the pick and pop to the three-point line. And I just feel like the Bulls have better options on the offensive end. They can, even against a really stout defensive team in the Philadelphia 76ers, I felt like they were still penetrating and finding the seams down low and passing it well. I just don't feel like that's the best shot you can get against this team. I think I'm fine with it if it's like, you know, hey, the last 12 to 10 seconds and you do a pick and pop and Vooch shoots a three, that's fine. You've got a little timer. As a player, you've got a little timer in your head that's counting down, you know, from 24. And as that timer gets down closer and closer to zero, you're thinking, okay, this is actually a good shot more and more. Because that's it. Dwindling time, dwindling chance to create that space and create more shots for yourself. That's just what you got to say. You got to settle at some point for a shot. And you got to say, hey, this is the best I'm going to get. But when you got like 20 seconds left or 15 seconds left even in the shot clock, a Vooch pick and pop three isn't necessarily the best shot in my opinion. And the other thing that does is it leaves your best rebounder on the team by far away from the basket for zero chance basically on offensive rebound. You got Javonte Green who I shouted out. Obviously, he's going to run in there, try to grab an offensive board or two, and he can do that. But Vooch is your guy, man. He's the guy you need down low, battling for those boards. And against a team like this, talking about being impactful without being in the box, where we talk about sometimes battling on the offensive boards, forcing the other team to commit fouls, loose ball fouls on Embiid would have been huge today. Embiid, obviously, another huge game against a bad Bulls defense. The Bulls have just been terrible on defense, but I thought they gave a good effort tonight, but you just knew that MB was going to cook the Bulls today. 40 points on 14 of 23 shooting just came so easy to him. 2 of 4 from beyond the arc, 10 of 11 from the line, 10 rebounds, 3 assists. He had 4 fouls, 4 personal fouls. If Vooch is in there battling on the boards for a couple more possessions and ends up getting him into foul trouble, the Bulls maybe have a better chance of winning this one, or at least making it close at the end there. Bulls went on runs, man. The Bulls, they just hung in there. They're about down about 10 points for the entirety of the game. They cut it to about, I think, 4. I think it was 4 points with about, 6-7 minutes left in that fourth quarter there. Just couldn't keep the foot on the gas. The Philadelphia 76ers just had a response every time the Bulls went on a run. Hard, very hard without LaVine or without Kobe White. You just don't, like I said, just don't have the offensive firepower to hang with a really, really stout Philadelphia 76ers defense. Speaking of that defense, though, they let DeMar DeRozan get all those points. I think the biggest reason for that being that Matisse Thybulle had to miss this one. No Matisse Thybulle, so they stuck Danny Green on him quite a lot. They stuck some Charlie Brown on him. They gave him a few different looks, but no one could stop DeMar DeRozan. Just wasn't possible. Very easy for DeMar to get into that mid-range and get a fadeaway, and they just happened to fall down in a really high clip tonight. They had Furkan Korkmaz on him for a while. That did not turn out well at all. So, yeah. No Matisse Thybulle. It was a difficult assignment for the 76ers to shut down DeMar DeRozan. I thought, you know, give Billy Donovan his flowers when they're due. I thought there was a good game plan going to this one and getting DeMar all those looks and getting him looks in the right spots. And then also just attacking it and allowing people like Troy Brown Jr. And Javante Green to find seams down low, to find the open threes, to find the three-point line. Matt Thomas didn't have a great game. Let me talk about that. Saw a little bit of shade thrown at Matt Thomas on Twitter. I didn't think any of the shots he took were bad shots. I saw some shade being thrown at him from Casey Johnson, of all people. Casey Johnson, obviously, respect him a lot. I think I agree with most 90% of his takes. Didn't agree with this one. I didn't think any of the shots Matt Thomas took today were necessarily questionable. He had to take them. They were coming at the right time in the shot clock, I felt like, most of the time. You know, it's not that he was looking for a shot or hunting a shot. It was just what was there, what was being given to them by the defense. He went 1 of 7 from beyond the arc. Tough shooting day, man. I mean, that's going to be tough for anybody. Matt Thomas is a borderline NBA player, let's be honest. He's not necessarily the best NBA player in the world. I thought he did a fantastic job on the boards, though. I saw him grabbing rebounds and being physical down low, which I don't expect from Matt Thomas. So I kind of wanted to give the guy a little shout out there. Just a rough shooting day, and that's just unfortunate, because if he does knock down one or two more of those threes, it's probably a different basketball game. You know, instead of having a 4-point lead, maybe the Bulls are within one or even ahead, halfway through that fourth quarter, and maybe the Sixers get a little nervous. I don't think they do. I think this was a really, really hard game to win. Didn't have a good chance of winning this one. I think the Bulls gave, again, their best shot. And I think the Sixers just took care of business and came out and did well.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
5 of 15 for Seth Curry. He didn't shoot the ball particularly well. 2 of 5 from me on the line. Tyrese Maxey, 6 of 9. He had a really good game. 6 assists. Danny Green, 2 of 3 from me on the arc. I felt like the 50% from threes. I felt like the Sixers were just hitting threes left and right at points where I'm like, oh, come on. They just missed that one for me, please. So, if that doesn't happen also, it's maybe a different basketball game. But they had the shooting shoes on today. 1 of 3 for Furkan Korkmaz, 2 of 4 from Georges Niang, 3 of 4 from Tyrese Maxey from Man the Arc, 2 of 4 again from Embiid, and 2 of 3 for Danny Green. So just everybody shooting it lights out, man. Hard to win a game like that against an already pretty darn good basketball team in the Philadelphia 76ers. The bench. Bench was atrocious. Not very good. I don't have the bench points in front of me. I don't think. Let me reload here and see if it pops up. Probably not. No. Don't have the bench points in front of me necessarily here, but I would have to say that their bench outscored our bench pretty handily. Not surprising, again, considering the fact that no LaVine, no Kobe White, so we had guys moving into the starting lineup, which takes away from your bench. You have guys moving up to roles where they don't necessarily have their best outputs. And, looking right now at our bench, why are my guys not, my guys aren't, for some reason, my guys aren't organized as starters and bench on NBA.com's box score, which is kind of frustrating. But Malcolm Hill had 5. Matt Thomas had 5. Troy Brown Jr. started. So that's it. That looks like it. As far as our bench points go. So I think we got 10 points off the bench. There's no way that the Sixers got less than 10 points off the bench. I don't think. Let's see. Drummond had 2. Here we go. Now, this is how you identify. Here we go. Hold on. Let me just double check real quick now that I have my bearings. Okay. Yes, I was right there. 10 points off our bench. Drummond had 2. Danny Green had 8. Danny Green started. I'm sorry. Hold on. Drummond had 2. Niang had 9. Korkmaz had 9. So, yeah, they had 18, 20. They doubled our bench points. They didn't necessarily have a great contribution from their bench, but they doubled us in bench points, it looks like, off of my rough math here, and I apologize for that. But, not looking good. Those minutes were lost minutes. Anytime Joel Embiid's off the floor, I saw on Twitter somebody was mentioning, we have to win those minutes, and that just wasn't happening. So that was another thing that contributed to this kind of uphill battle here. Pick and roll defense still, some of those threes that they made got a little lucky with some of them, but I felt like some of the threes we just gave them really clean and open and good looks, and you just can't do that against a team that shoots relatively well from three. Guards just not fighting over the screens again on the Bulls, so their point of attack defense against that pick and roll, just that high screen, just terrible, just awful. I'd assume it was the one guy I'll point out that does make an effort to get over it, but just not fun to watch, man, getting picked apart, and, you got to be a little frustrated at that. Kind of interesting, the shot clocks were off for this game, so you actually had Tim Sinclair, the PA announcer for the Bulls, counting down. He would say 10 when the shot clock hit 10 seconds, and then he would say 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 as the clock was coming down. I thought that was kind of interesting. They had the old school shot clocks out there, too, on the ground, on the corners of the floors that the players could see as well. But I feel like you get less shot clock violations when that's happening because there's no onus on you to look up because you can actually hear, you can both hear and see. I actually kind of prefer that if I was a player. I think I'd kind of prefer that, to be honest. I'd assume it. Let's talk about this guy, man. Another poster dunk over Andre Drummond. Gets a steal, gets out on the break, dunks it, and then he hits the stanchion. Oh, that looked – I actually – cringed both times when they played it, and then when they played the replay, he hit that stanchion pretty hard, man. Just his back hitting the corner of it. It is padded, obviously. I'm sure he's fine, quote unquote. After that, he's going to be a little sore though from that. And then he hit his head later in the game against Matt Thomas's shoulder, and Joel Embiid was involved in there somewhere. I think he might have hit Matt Thomas's knee, but not sure exactly what happened there. I'd have to watch it again, slow motion. But what we do know is that Matt Thomas's shoulder took out Io Desumu's head. Oh, man, Io got banged up a bit in this one, man. It's a little nerve-wracking here. But again, another good game. I love that he's going to the basket and attacking with just reckless abandon, like Javonte Green. Maybe he's in that Javonte Green school of attacking the basket, and I'm all for it, man. Go for it, young fella, for sure. 7 assists tonight and only 1 turnover today. Good. I think we can all agree that Io Desumu's recent strong play and just his step, his ascension, his getting better game after game, his just way above where he should be as the 38th pick in the draft. I think his emergence here has made Coby White extremely expendable at the trade deadline. I don't know if Coby White gets moved. I don't mind if he does or doesn't. I don't think it really – if he does get moved, I hope it's for somebody like a Jakob Poeltl. I hope it's for somebody that's going to move the needle for us and be at a piece for us beyond just this year. If he doesn't move, I'm okay with it, man. Coby White's played well when he's been out there. He's provided scoring. We could have really used his scoring punch tonight, his three-point shot tonight. Today? I keep saying tonight. It's not tonight. Most of these games are at night, so I apologize again. But our day game here. Could have used Coby White's. So I don't mind if he moves or if he doesn't move. But if he does get moved, I hope we get something back in that return. But Io Desumu is the guy that we want to have playing most of our backup point guard minutes at this point. I don't think there's any way around that. And I did have an exchange earlier on Twitter yesterday with some people that are saying, you know, Io's the better point guard over Lonzo Ball to pair with Vucevic. And I know we talked about this with I talked about this with Trey in our, I believe it was our last show. And there might be something to that. I'm not going to say there is not something to that. Vucevic has been playing a lot better recently, and Lonzo Ball has been out. So a lot of people look at those two things and say, oh, obviously this is, you know, causation. Obviously, Io Desumu being the point guard is what's making Vucevic play better. I don't necessarily buy into that. I think Lonzo Ball can be just as good of a point guard for Vucevic as Io Desumu. I'm not saying that he is decidedly better than Io. I'm saying that the verdict's still out because Vucevic was just absolutely dreadful through the first, I don't know, 25 games of the season. Just not good on the offensive side. Missing a lot of bunnies. He was getting in spots where he should be hitting jump shots and just not finishing. And now he is. And so I'd like to see Lonzo Ball with the good Vooch and see what we have there. The one thing I think that Lonzo Ball definitely excels in that we can all agree on is getting the team out in transition and getting easy transition buckets, which is something we've just sorely missed since both Lonzo and Alex Caruso have been out. Didn't see a lot of it tonight. I would have to, again, look. Looks like I've got some additional stuff popping up here, but I don't believe we got a whole bunch of transition baskets, to be honest with you guys. I'm trying to look it up here quickly. Let's see, scoring. I'm in the wrong spots here. This is why I need Trey so he can talk while I look up this stuff. Darn you, Trey. But no, we definitely need that stuff, and we don't have it. And points off turnovers. Here we go. Philadelphia had 11. We also had 11. Let me see. Points of the fast break points. Philadelphia had 8, we had 11. So we did get out there and run a little bit more than I thought we did. I can't remember the Io dunk, obviously. That was 2 of them, but must have been looking down at my computer when the other ones happened. But that's okay. Point being, I think Lonzo Ball is the better point guard to have in transition to push the pace. We just love how he gets the rebound and immediately looks up the floor. He's been hitting Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan on easy buckets, you know, just streaking out. I just miss that stuff. I don't feel like it's happening enough with Lonzo out. So I still want Lonzo Ball in this lineup. I think you're crazy if you think Io is going to replace Lonzo Ball. But if you think that Io is a better point guard and has a better rapport with Vucevic, I can't argue that. That's basically the nuance of the argument there. And I still think the verdict's out on that second part. Anyways, A couple of news and notes now from around the league. Brooklyn Nets extend their losing streak tonight. Today, gosh, it's not tonight yet. Stupid. Today. 8-game losing streak for the Brooklyn Nets. That's just insanity. And there is just so much turmoil there. A lot of speculation that James Harden is sitting out because he wants to be traded. That speculation has had some water poured on it. And now they're saying that he doesn't want to be traded. I think it's Shams and Woj have different takes on this, or different sources, or different information. I'm sure there's nuance to this conversation that's just totally lost in this whole shuffle. I don't personally think that it makes a lot of sense for Harden to be traded for Ben Simmons. Something about that just doesn't sit right in my stomach. I can't articulate entirely at the moment, but it just doesn't feel like the thing that's probable. It's possible, I suppose. I'll put it there. It's possible, but I just don't see it as something that's entirely probable. But now the Nets have fallen to 7th in the rankings at 4.5 games behind the Heat, who sit in first. Bulls are a half game behind the Heat. Sixers are a game and a half behind the Heat. They're only a game behind the Bulls. And so this game was big, man. We wanted to win this one. If we would have won this one also, Billy Donovan would have been coaching in the All-Star game. Now that that we have lost, Eric Spoelstra and his coaching staff get the honor of representing the Eastern Conference in the All-Star game. Not the end of the world. I don't really care either way too much. Like I've said 100 times now, don't really care about the All-Star game very much. It's a popularity contest. It's for the fans. It's fun. And that's where the importance of the All-Star game ends for me. I do care about who gets voted to the All-Star game. And I guess I care about who coaches the All-Star game, because it's nice to be able to say on your resume, hey, I coached the All-Star game because my team was in first or whatever. So I guess there's a little bit of caring in me, but not very much caring about that stuff. So, but yeah, the Nets. Not only does Harden want out, supposedly, maybe wants out, but Kyrie Irving is only in half the games too. That's just not a recipe for winning basketball. The Nets have to do something. They might go into panic mode here. I would not be surprised to see something happen. I don't think it's probable that they trade for Ben Simmons and they trade away Harden. It just doesn't make sense to me. But I wouldn't be surprised to see them shake things up a little bit, because, man, 8-game losing streak, trade deadline's happening. No one's happy there, it seems like. Kevin Durant's injured. Just abysmal. I would not want to be in that situation. Not good. Not good at all. Some other notes. We got a little update here from Mr. Billy Donovan on Patrick Williams. Here's the quote here that I was able to snag right before I jumped on. There may be an opportunity, if everything kind of falls right, that maybe 10, 12, 14 games left in the year, maybe we could have our whole team back, Donovan said. Our whole team. Patrick Williams, Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso, Derek Jones Jr., I guess, if he's still on the roster. All those guys. And we remember how dominant we looked at the beginning of the year, right? I'm excited, man. I know I've had some back and forth people on Twitter, Patrick Williams wanting to trade him for Jeremy Grant. I just don't think it's a good idea at all. I think Patrick Williams has a pretty significantly high ceiling, especially on the defensive end. I'm not going to rehash this whole thing because I've said it 100 times. Go back and listen to any show that has Patrick Williams in the title. But having him back is going to be huge, man. It's going to shift again. Javonte Green probably shifts to the bench. Imagine that, man. Having that kind of hustle and heart off your bench and defensively. And we saw it, man. We saw it at the beginning of the season. That's what was happening. He was eating people up. I mean, you know, it shifts everything to where it was supposed to be. It fits the plan. It fits the roster construction that Arturas and Mark Eversley had in mind. So I want to see it. I know we got some positive, developments as far as like him losing or him being ahead of schedule and healing. We had some positive developments also with Lonzo Ball. I believe they said he's walking without crutches already today. So things are trending in the right direction, Bulls fans, and I know it's frustrating, to have to watch this team basically at, I don't know, half strength. We're missing 2/3 of our starters. Tonight we're missing two-thirds. Wow. Two-fifths of our starters. Today we're missing three-fifths of our starters with Zach LaVine out. So key part is what I'm trying to say. You don't have to be down on this Bulls team. There's a lot of potential there. I don't know if championship is the ultimate end goal here. I don't know if that's the probable thing. I'm not going to even put it. It's possible, not probable, but I'm not even going to put it as possible as James Harden getting traded for Ben Simmons. It's less possible than that, in my opinion. I know Trey disagrees, but and I'm sure some Bulls fans do. But I'm being realistic here. I just don't think I know I put through the Nets in there as a team we can't beat in a seven-game series now. I definitely changed my mind on that. I think we can definitely beat the Brooklyn Nets now in a seven-game series. But the Miami Heat, the Milwaukee Bucks, without a significant move, I don't see that happening. And you're going to have to. I mean, there's no way around it. You're going to have to do that to get in the Eastern Conference Finals. The other big news from today. We had a trade, a big blockbuster trade. The trade is Indiana Pacers sent Caris LeVert and a 2022 second-round pick via Miami to Cleveland for Ricky Rubio, a lottery-protected 2022 first-round pick, a 2022 second-round pick from Houston, and a 2027 second-round pick from Utah. Good trade. Good trade both ways, man. The Cavs are getting stronger, man. The Cavs are getting stronger, and that is scary. That's one of those teams, I've said it before, I'll say it again, one of those teams I don't want to see the Bulls playing in the playoffs. I just have this sinking feeling in my gut. That's going to be our first-round matchup, man. They're in fifth right now. Cavs are in fifth, a game and a half behind first. They're at 32-21 with their record. Caris LeVert's huge for them. Gives them a really great scoring punch off the bench that they just don't have right now. Jetty Osmond probably takes a backseat or maybe just ends up getting traded at some point or just ends up out of the rotation entirely, I think. You probably see a little bit less scoring from Kevin Love maybe. But Caris LeVert for them is good. They have the defense. They can throw him in the starting lineup here and there when they need to. If they need a scoring punch in that line in that starting lineup, they can just throw him in there, you know, for Markkanen. Because marketing can just take a seat on the bench and become the sixth man, kind of. And just a good move. Good move. They gave up Rubio. I mean, they paid a hefty price. I think it's a good move for the Pacers, too. The Pacers virtually get two first-round picks, guys, because one of those second-round picks is via Houston, the Rockets. The Houston Rockets, who are sitting on a 15-37 record, 15th in the Western Conference. I think that's second worst. Yeah, third worst record in the entire NBA. So that's two first-round picks. I mean, one of them is lottery-protected, so maybe it doesn't convey. But that's pretty good for a guy that is scoring a lot of points, but he's on a team that you don't need that. I mean, he doesn't move the needle for the Indiana Pacers. He moves the needle for the Cavs. He fits a need that they have. He's a role player. Some would say he has upside. I don't think he has a ton of upside. I think he scores the basketball well. He does one thing really well. He scores the basketball really well. So Pacers get some picks, some really good draft capital out of that. They get an expiring contract from Ricky Rubio. I don't know if Rubio is even going to play anymore. I've seen in interviews he's talking about it sucks having to move his kids around all the time when he gets traded and stuff like that. And he'd rather, spend time with them probably. Maybe he goes back to, I think he's from Spain, to play basketball there. I wouldn't surprise me. And it's an expiring contract anyways. There's no reason for the Pacers to bring him back. So it's an expiring contract. They get that cap space next year. They get the picks. It's good. Good for both sides, man. But again, scary for the Bulls. If the Bulls meet them in the playoffs, I'm telling you right now, scary. Scary, 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 scary. If it's a 4-5 matchup, Bulls and Cavs, I don't know who I pick out of that, honestly. I really don't know. I know we've played them once this year and we got handled when we were pretty healthy. Let me see. Have we played them more than once? We've played them more than once. Okay, so we beat them once. We did beat them once by 13 points, which was – that's nice. Jonte Green was out on that one, actually. I'm on his screen here. We got beat by 23 points. 23 points in our first meeting with them. No Patrick Williams in that one. No Kobe White in that one. No Javonte Green in that one. No DeMar DeRozan in that one. So, maybe that one makes a little bit more sense. I guess I would lean Bulls. I want to be a realist. I just don't want to have my heart broken. But that's a tough matchup, man. They just have so much length with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley and Lauri Markkanen, 3 7-footers in that starting lineup. It's just our roster construction is just not built for that, not built to go up against that. Now, if we have Patrick Williams back, I think there's definitely an edge for the Wolves. I really do. But that's going to do it for us, guys. That's going to do it for me. I am Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. You can follow our show at Ethos Bulls on Twitter. And before I do sign off, though, guys, I also want to give you a quick shout-out and say, before we sign off, we want to also remind you that I'll use coupon code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag. Use code HOOPBALL on the third page of sign-up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. But let's get it, man. We got a game again tomorrow. We got another big one against the Phoenix Suns. It's going to be a fun one. I'm going to be at work, but I'm going to try to tune into that one and watch it. And I will hopefully be able to be on here and hopefully with Trey as well. But until then, go Bulls and let's go get these W's, man. Please.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
With a Wealthfront cash account, your uninvested cash earns 4% annual percentage yield from partner banks with free instant withdrawals, even on weekends and holidays. 4% APY is not a promotional rate, and there's no limit to what you can deposit and earn. Wealthfront, money works better here. Go to Wealthfront.com to start today. Cash account offered by Wealthfront Brokerage, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Wealthfront is not a bank. The APY on cash deposits as of December 27, 2024 is representative, subject to change and requires no minimum. Funds in the cash account are swept to partner banks where they earn the variable APY.